You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
So what do? We engage those people that have that access already.
Community leader Tony Herbert announcing the One Family, One Community initiative to raise money for after-school programs, youth mentoring, and college scholarships. He says they're at a crisis point and have to do something to help their kids.
This was the call. This is the call to action to say enough is enough.
Community leader Tony Herbert says the kids are surrounded by negativity.
Young people don't have positive images in front of them. They get these dumb reality TV shows, the violent video games and video and the music.
A suspect in the shooting of two police officers in Ferguson, Missouri last week is now in custody. Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder tells Fox News this arrest could bring some closure to residents.
What we suffered Wednesday night was a savage attack on civilization itself.
This is USA Radio News.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
The day I knew I was a real biker was when I switched to Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Because real bikers, well, they know where the savings are. And you know what else makes you a real biker? A sweet tattoo. Check mine out. Just got it yesterday. It says Heel on Wheels. Wait, Heel on Wheels? Oh, man. Well, at least I got the saving money with Geico part, right?
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
A powerful Senate panel is reportedly looking into claims that a U.S. nonprofit is donating to the campaign to defeat Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Tuesday. The Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations is said to be mounting a bipartisan investigation after the One Voice movement got publicly funded grants from the State Department. Former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Liz Cheney tells Fox News that One Voice is playing favorites.
They are now working hand in glove with this Victory 2015 organization, which is dedicated to electing anybody but Netanyahu. They say that they are not supporting any particular candidate, but they want Netanyahu out.
The report comes after Netanyahu told Israeli TV that, quote, governments want to help the Just Not Bibi campaign. Liz Cheney tells Fox News, Fox and Friends, there's no excuse for the U.S. to help remove Benjamin Netanyahu from office.
That organization freed up other money to be able to go against Prime Minister Netanyahu. So the U.S. taxpayers should not be funding an effort to oust the leader of our closest ally.
Bluebell is issuing the first recall in its over 100-year history. Company officials say there's a potential listeria problem in some of the frozen snacks, including the Moo Bars, Cotton Candy Bars, and Sour Pops Green Apple. The products have been removed from the market. And, speaking of ice cream, Dairy Queen is having a free cone day today. The company is celebrating 75 years in business by giving its customers a free ice cream cone. Anyone looking to grab some ice cream can head to any participating store and get a small, soft-serve vanilla cone. Good times. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com for the Flemington area. Coming up for this next week, today partly sunny, high near 53. Looking 30% chance of maybe some scattered showers late in the evening, actually about after 3 in the morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low in the 40s. Tuesday showers likely mainly in the morning, then cloudy. Clearing up, becoming mostly sunny, high near 53. Tuesday night, clear, low in the 20s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high near 40. Clear on the overnight Wednesday night, 23 degrees in the 40s on Thursday. Thursday night, partly cloudy, low in the upper 20s. Chance of rain and showers on Friday. Otherwise, sunny, high near 43. Chance of rain Friday night, mostly cloudy, low in the 20s, and then looks clear for the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. Bill Kinslow, I'm the chef here at Jake's here in Flemington. Get together every Monday to talk about our food occasions. Some recipes, sometimes trivia. Tips from behind the swinging doors, as we call it, the kitchen doors. Anything else that crosses our desk here. One day of the week I get to sit at a desk. Well, upcoming now, obviously tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day, St. Paddy's Day, however you want to express it. I think even the weekend might have been big for some of the Irish bars. People that maybe can't get out during the week would go out Saturday, possibly Sunday. We like it on the day. We like it during the week at the restaurant. It's kind of you can kind of focus on the Irish food and the people. Pretty much everybody's out for the same reason. So tomorrow at Jake's, we will have the traditional corned beef and cabbage dinner and also beef and Guinness. Made some Irish stew. I always make that the day before, so stews always come out better when you reheat them. I think most chefs will agree on that. A nice chance overnight for all the flavors to come together. Also, if any fat floats to the top, you can just kind of break it off there. It solidifies. So another good advantage if you're doing braises, even stock sauces, let them chill down a little bit and easier to get the fat off of them. Do a nice salmon special with a creamed Napa cabbage. The Napa cabbage, of course, a little bit softer. We braise that with some shredded carrots and white wine. Makes a nice kind of sauce, vegetable sauce. One of our favorites. It's well practical in restaurants because the sauce becomes the side dish, becomes the garnish, and when you can tie it all together like that, it's nice. It's we'll serve it on some smashed potatoes with Irish salmon. Of course, everybody celebrates the corned beef, but really, the Emerald Isle very well known for seafood. And, of course, Guinness Stout and Irish Whiskey, which we may touch on later towards the end of the show. And then, of course, the bangers, the Irish sausages always. That's pretty good lunch item. We do the bangers and mash, onion gravy. And fish and chips we always have, and that's, I know, a little bit more English, but we still feature it. And we'll make some mushy peas for that instead of the coleslaw. So a lot of good food, I'm sure, happened by Jake's or your favorite place. Polytech over at Hunterdon County, Polytech Careers Cafe. We're doing an Irish-themed dinner also tomorrow night. If anybody wants to stop by, number to call 284-1444, extension 2122. The meal's $25, including that includes tax. And beverages. And unfortunately, on a high school campus, no alcoholic beverages are served, but you can still enjoy great food. We do a 5-course tasting menu over there, and it'll start with an ale battered banger. So the sausage we're going to dip in the what would normally be the fish and chip batter. We'll have that for a little hors d'oeuvre, and then, of course, lamb stew would be our soup course. We'll cut the vegetables a little smaller. People can enjoy a taste of that. We wanted to kind of tie all the dishes into one meal. And then the salad will feature the smoked salmon on the salad, a green, white, and orange salad. Little smoked salmon coronets and a nice horseradish dressing. And then the corned beef, Chef Paul over there, he's come up with a kind of a unique presentation for the corned beef dinner, kind of upscale. Paul's good at that. And we're going to call it corned beef Wellington. So Wellington, you know, from beef Wellington, is wrapped in pastry. And we're going to do that with the corned beef and cabbage. So it'll be all wrapped up in pastry. And then a nice, some glazed carrots and a nice Coleman's mustard sauce. So it should be a neat little riff on their traditional dinner. Nice way to present it, especially a tasting menu. And, of course, keeps it hot. That's the one thing about the boiled dinner. If you don't get it right out of the pot, it tends to cool off fast because there's not really a heavy sauce or a gravy on it. Some of our guests like some of the broth mixed with our horseradish cream. Kind of serve that on the side. It's always nice. And then, of course, the pastry class, they'll bake a Bailey's Irish cream chocolate cheesecake. So, and this is soda bread, of course. So either way, we've got a couple of nice options for Irish food locally here in Flemington. Coming up the week after that, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here. We've got Restaurant Week in Flemington, and local restaurants. I believe the Flemington Restaurant Association website would have the restaurants listed that are participating. I know we had one in the fall. Very successful. We're going to do, again, a small fixed price option at Jake's, $24.95, and that's three courses. Does not include beverages, of course, but that's up to you. But it worked well. We'll do first courses. You know, it's spring. And tough thing is spring appetites begin before the produce comes in. But asparagus is pretty good now. We're going to do a cream of asparagus soup. Good way to start off a meal. Or the salad, we'll do the kind of a take on our iceberg wedge salad. I'm going to get some iceberg babies, they call them, or mini iceberg. So we'll use little mini wedges. There's something recent years out in California. We've used them before. Kind of, I don't know if you see them in the stores or not, but some places hollow them out and put the dressing inside. But this, the lettuce head is about the size of a little bigger than a softball. And the idea is it has a lot more flavor. It's not as watery. Little, if you can say that iceberg, most people say, well, it has no taste, but these mini icebergs, because of the size of them, the flavor is a little bit more concentrated, so you actually have a good tasting lettuce. And then we're going to do a portobello fry, which we've done in the past as a special. Do a nice spiced ketchup, a little Asian flair to it. The ketchup will have a little ginger and pepper flakes in it, little sesame. Sauteing ketchup is great if you've ever done it to make a sauce. I think something similar might be in Indian cuisine, usually with a fried cauliflower or cauliflower. It could be roasted or fried. But when you saute ketchup, it takes on, even though it's a well-cooked sauce and concentrated, you saute it, it just opens up different flavors for it, and kind of the chemistry magic of cooking, I guess. So we got the fries, a soup, a salad, entrees. We'll do a beef Guinness. We're going to keep on with the season, and we're going to offer some fried chicken using the all-natural, the nice Murray's chicken breast. Something a little thinner skinned. Been testing it out there. I think a good piece of fried chicken that's not cooked and sitting around for hours is going to be a treat. We're going to do a nice shrimp and spring vegetable risotto with the artichokes, peas, and asparagus tips in there. And then a vegetarian lasagna, vegetable lasagna. Usually do one for Thanksgiving. for a vegetarian option, so we thought we'd feature that. And then, of course, a Napoleon, raspberry Napoleon for dessert, or gluten-free flourless chocolate cake. And, of course, Madalena's cheesecake. So, good lineup there, $24.95. And as I say, other restaurants, it's good, especially during the week, good chance to support the local restaurants. And also, the chefs or the owners offer nice options at sometimes a little bit, you know, good price. I mean, three courses, that's it's almost like you're getting a free dessert. And we'll have some wines on special also. We've got a break for some messages here, and we'll be back at the table. Got to touch on letter G. We did a little bit of it last week. Of course, we've got our Eat the Year. We've got our week to see what's coming up for other food holidays. So lots to do. Chef Bill's Table.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to forwardnewjersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
You shouldn't give for the accolades. You shouldn't give for the back pats. You shouldn't give for the tax breaks either. At Jersey Mike's, we think you should give for one reason and one reason only, to give. Come into any Jersey Mike's location during March for our month of giving and join us as we help support local charities across the country all month long. It's your chance to get a tasty sub sandwich and help do something good for the community you call home. And on Wednesday, March 25th, Jersey Mike's is proud to be donating 100% of sales to a charity right in your own backyard. Jersey Mike's. Help nourish. Help flourish. Be a sub above.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill. It's going to continue on with our journey through the alphabet. We were up to letter G. Of course, We were on Rewind 1 week. We had St. Patrick's last week. So a couple of cooking terms and maybe a couple of food items, a couple of recipes. See if we can cover all that. All this week, Eat the Year. Steph Deschene, D-E-S-C-H-E-N-E-S is the author's name. She's put together this book. Every day there's some national celebration. Sometimes there's two, and then, of course, there's months that celebrate a certain item. And this week, let's see, yesterday, the 15th, Parabelle Helene, old classic dessert. Poached pears, vanilla syrup. You peel the pears, and I like to cut them in half and core them. Nice presentation that way. And then it's with a chocolate sauce and not chocolate syrup and not hot fudge sauce. You'll melt some chocolate. Usually there'll be some corn syrup and probably a little bit of oil in there. Recipes for it. Something that you don't want it to necessarily harden up like fudge, and you don't want it too runny. And most places would serve it over ice cream. I know I worked for an Austrian pastry chef, and he said it was the vanilla rice was also a nice way to do it. If you've never made that, my guys in the kitchen call it arroz con leche, and sometimes I'll have it for breakfast. I've used it as a dessert. Vanilla rice is it's pretty cool. I like to use the Arborio. I want something starchy for this. It's kind of like making rice pudding. Cooking the rice in milk with sugar and measure it the right proportions, again, 2-to-1, so that all the liquid's absorbed. And that could be a slight room temperature, or chill it down and serve the Parabelle Helene over the vanilla rice instead of ice cream. 16th today is Artichoke Heart Day. Of course, we think of those in the spring. Artichoke hearts, of course, a lot of work. The fresh artichokes, I always like that for a first course because it took time to eat. You're breaking off each leaf and just getting that little tender bit on the end there, and of course, whatever you flavor it with. But so many ways now, of course, canned, marinated, even frozen artichoke quarters. We used to do a quick appetizer, even with canned ones, and cut them in halves or quarters and do just a artichoke heart francais, just with a lemon butter or a lemon oil, whichever you prefer. Lemon butter's nice, just like doing a flounder or chicken. You dredge the artichoke hearts in seasoned flour and dip them in egg, good hot oil or clarified butter, and saute them. They're already cooked, so you're just really getting the coating on them done. Nice quick appetizer if you ever need something on the fly, something you can keep in your pantry. Of course, 17th tomorrow, National Green Beer Day. Never understood it. I know when I was younger, of course, it was a big kick on St. Paddy's Day, and your tongue was always green for a day or so after that, just putting food dye in beer. Doesn't really add to anything, just the appearance, but I guess people still like to do that. The 18th, Lacey Oatmeal Cookie Day. 19th is Poultry Day, and it doesn't mean just chicken, all kinds of poultry. And maybe this would be the week to explore something besides just a boneless, skinless chicken breast. So maybe a duck, even a Cornish hens I always thought were cool. Always was a nice banquet item because every bird was a whole portion. I know some people don't like to mess with all the little bones and things, but really it's like an all-white meat chicken. Very nice, very nice, something different. And they cook fairly quickly. If you like roast chicken, there's only, especially for a single person, just cook one up, and you've got yourself a nice roast chicken dinner with the Cornish hens. But duck, the game birds, careful to cook them. Turkey would always still, even though it's not Thanksgiving, turkey's always a good option. So try some poultry this week. And then 20th is National Ravioli Day. And raviolis, the author gives a little thing for toasted raviolis. I thought that was kind of a, I don't know if that was a Chicago thing. So I guess some restaurant chains do that. They'll coat the ravioli with panko crumbs or seasoned, usually Italian breadcrumbs, and then deep fry them. Now, in order to do that, of course, you par cook the raviolis. You cook them about half the time that you normally would. So they're, because you're going to cook them again. And then you dip them in egg and then the seasoned breadcrumbs, and then actually you can bake them in the oven, 450 degrees, 15 minutes, turn the raviolis halfway through, get them nice and toasted on both sides, and then you've got, you know, another textural layer in there. And then make any kind of sauce or dip you want. I know we've done, even with fresh raviolis, freshly made ones, we used to just put those in the deep fryer as they were without boiling them, and that's another option also. To, if you have a small deep fryer and you have fresh raviolis, instead of boiling them, fry them. And you know, it's I mean, there's so many fillings you can get out there, although the original was most likely just the cheese, eggs, and parsley. You need a little bit of egg in the filling so they tightens up there, keeps it from getting too watery with the ricotta. And someplace, you know, some school of thought as well, just have cheese raviolis and then vary the sauce. But encasing things in pastry, you know, most cultures, most every culture has one. So the raviolis, whether they're square, there's now there's triangles, there's round ones, there's rectangular ones. Some fancy places will do what we call an open ravioli, where you don't seal the filling in the pasta. The ravioli is kind of layered, or you could call it a, almost like a lasagna that's not baked. So you have your pasta square, that's the squares are cooked, and then whatever you would use for the filling, you put on top of this one square and then layer the other one on top. Advantage to that is you don't have to do all the work to make the raviolis, and also the stuffing. Say you don't want cheese in the stuffing, you don't want anything, you know, it's tough to make some a filling that doesn't have some kind of help to bind it with the egg and cheese. I know there are Lucy's ravioli in Princeton, they do a vegetable ravioli, but they use tofu in there instead of cheese, so it's also a full vegetarian one. But raviolis are always good. Everybody likes raviolis. And then the 21st is French bread day. Baguette, actually. French baguette. That long, thin loaf. And the story has it, in the 20s, the bakers were, it was prescribed by law that they couldn't work before 4 in the morning. So in order to get bread out for the morning customers, they simply made it into a thinner loaf that took a lot less time to bake. Although originally the shape came from Vienna, seems the French bakers, and it's, you know, it's, what's the difference, you know, a baguette or Italian bread? Sometimes French bread, I think really the good French bread is very, very small round, not a large round. You almost have to split it lengthwise. And the bread's there, of course, with no oils in them. It's just flour, yeast, water, and salt. They dry out pretty quickly. And, of course, that's why you see many recipes for day-old bread. It could be hours old, but literally the bread, there's bread that's meant to be eaten that meal, and then there's bread that will maybe last until the evening meal. But the ficelles, the long, almost like a string is the translation. We used to get them years ago from Manhattan. They were a sourdough baguette made with sourdough bread. And then they would roll them in red onions and bake them. And that was a real treat with some sweet butter or a soft cheese on it. We're up on the half hour here. We just got a break for news, and we'll be right back at the table. Some terminology. Gee, we've got some kitchen equipment and some procedures, some cooking terms. And we'll continue on Chef Bill's Table.
Mm-hmm. This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. Philippine police say government forces have captured the leader of a new Muslim rebel group in the south who has been linked to bombings and a beheading and accused of providing sanctuary to two terror suspects wanted by the United States. A police report says government troops arrested Muhammad Ali Tambako and five of his men late Sunday while the militants were traveling on a motorcycle taxi to a seaport in southern General Santos City. The president of the Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu says his country has lost years of development progress and must start anew following a powerful cyclone that destroyed 90% of the buildings on the main island of Port Vila. Baldwin Lonsdale says he and other top government officials are preparing to return home later Monday from Sendai in northeastern Japan, where they were attending a disaster conference. For the USA Radio Network, I'm J.J. Jeffries.
This report is brought to you by the 60 Plus Association. Seniors living on fixed incomes may soon face a 60% rise on their energy bills in accordance with the EPA rule coming this summer. According to a recent study by Energy Ventures Analysis, the U.S. will face an estimated $284 billion annual increase in power and gas costs for residential, commercial, and industrial consumers beginning in 2020. The increase would result from the administration's proposal to regulate carbon dioxide emissions from U.S. power plants, reducing the use of low-cost coal-based electricity while gas prices climb higher. Jim Martin, Chairman, 60 Plus Association.
Fluctuating energy costs are difficult for any budget, but especially for seniors living on a fixed income. What we need is a balanced solution, one that reduces environmental emissions without damaging the economy or the electric grid. With the EPA rule coming this summer, we need to make our voices heard.
For more information and to find out which states face the most risk, visit 60plus.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill, we're going to explore the letter G. So, of course, kitchen equipment, and this doesn't, by no means, you know, it's an all-inclusive list, but I thought of three things that are very useful in the kitchen: a grater and a grinder, whether for coffee or for spices or for grinding meat. Sometimes there's an attachment on your stand mixer that can do that. Or I know my mother had the old hand crank one that you clamp on the edge of the table. And there's something to be said for that, especially if you're doing small batches of stuff. It's easy. I know they're making a quick beef hash or something like that. Easy to clean and just get a little workout at the same time. And then either a grill or a griddle seem to be more available on kitchen stoves now. Sometimes the center, where it used to be just between the four burners, oftentimes now there's a plate there, a flat griddle that is bigger than a frying pan. This was always the issue with if you're trying to do a bunch of pancakes or grilled cheeses, things like that for a large group of people, the skillets were just not big enough that the grill or the griddle, depending on what era you're from, some people say now a grill has become more an open charbroiler kind of thing, charcoal grill, meaning the heat's coming from underneath and you're cooking on grates. But also a grill, which now we call a griddle, is your flat metal piece. Plancha is another type, very higher heat, that used in some Spanish cooking, just puts a nice sear on things. Some people have grill pans or griddle pans. They're either kind of a rectangular or even a round cast iron with some of the grates in it to get the marks. And what that also does is keeps your food off the direct content of the heat. You're getting more of the radiant heat. And, of course, everybody likes those little hash marks there on the steaks or the chicken or the fish. Gives a nice appearance. For graters, you know, the old the four-sided box grater, and I guess the gadget salespeople will tell you, well, the person that had a lot of money in bandages because people were skinning their knuckles on it. But if you use it carefully, I still rely on it. The four-sided one has the one that slices, and then you have your large holes and the small one for zesting. Of course, that's kind of been replaced by the microplane or the rasp. People like that now. But the slicer, that's what we would slice radishes, things like that, anything you could do pretty quickly. And of course, they get dull after a while, and that's where you run into problems, is trying to force product through the holes there. And we used to sharpen them with actually a chainsaw file. Little secret there from years ago, when you had to even make a $4 box grater last, and the chainsaw file is a small round file, and you could file each hole separately and keep them nice and sharp. But I like to grate things, especially if you need a fine minced onion, let's say. Prefer to do it on the grater. The juice comes, it's so small, it's called the onion will kind of disappear. I do that a lot of times in salads. I actually use the box grater for three items in, say, a cold potato salad. I'll shred the carrots on the coarse holes, and also I like to shred the eggs so they kind of disperse instead of slicing them or chunking them. It gets the white nice and shredded also. And then, of course, I'll grate the onion. On the slicing part, you could use that to slice the eggs also. Have slices of eggs go in the potato salad. But, you know, and to replace that, of course, you might need, you know, two or three other implements. So I actually have one at home that's a three-sided one. It doesn't have the slicing part on it, and it's got actual rubber feet, so it's nice and solid, good piece. And now you have them also. I've had them where you have a container on the bottom to measure stuff, because it's always, you know, somebody says, well, you know, I need, you know, 2 cups of grated cheese. Well, how much cheese do you use? Well, you keep checking and measuring, and, you know, if you're using a food processor, or keep in the cup. But I had one time where the cup slid on the bottom, and it was graduated, meaning it was measured, all the measurements were there, and you simply shredded or grated until got to where the point you needed, and that was it. Plus, you didn't get stuff everywhere. All the product, most of it went into the little rectangle, the little cup on the bottom. And, of course, grinders we're using now. A lot of people like to grind their own coffee at home, but also finding for spices. And I say, especially if you don't go through them that quickly, if you have whole spices and toast them and grind them to order, it makes a lot of sense. Also, the spice grinder, what do I use it for? Portobello or porcini dust, mushroom dust. You use the dried mushrooms and grind them up in there until they're very fine. It's a nice little coating for scallops or a halibut, nice white fish. As I say, the grill or griddle, I like, you know, or a cast iron pan works. We like the grills again, for larger quantities of things like pancakes, French toast, or even if you're doing, you know, sausages, anything like that that you're doing for a crowd. Some people have now, they're, I think, almost like a clamshell is the grill, I think, that, or you could say like a, I don't know, a Foreman grill or a panini press, same idea. But we always had one, it was the waffle iron, but then you could flip the plates over and it was solid, so you could actually have a two-sided griddle. And you can close it or leave it open. I think some of the food implement houses, Williams Sonoma, one of those, they might have something fancy like that. Maybe a lot of money. But you want something good and heavy, something that's not going to warp. And when you put product on there, you want it to maintain its temperature. That's the important thing about a griddle. So menu terms. Gratin. When you see a term gratin, you always think of potatoes au gratin, something with cheese. But a gratin would be something that would be baked and browned under a broiler or a salamander. Heat from above so it gets a nice brown crust on it. Something, actually two terms, a galette and a gâteau. And these two terms are related, or they were once were, you know, ages ago, come to mean a couple of different things now. A gâteau, some people say, oh, it's a fancy name for a cake. Well, really the difference between a cake and a gâteau traditionally would have fresher ingredients, say in the filling or the icing, that would not keep well. So a cake, all right, you've got your layers, you've got your filling, your frosting, and cakes, you know, kind of hold up for a little while. But a gâteau, maybe have strawberries and a whipped cream in between. So that cake is not going to hold up as long as the regular cake. So we call that a gâteau. Usually thinner layers, and the emphasis is more on the filling and the fruit. Although a gâteau originally was probably not a dessert. It was originally, I think, would be made with a grain flour, more like a galette. Galettes were like that. Now the galette, actually originally a cake, we think of that more as either sliced or shredded, mostly used potatoes, but of course you could use other firm vegetables and actually use your grater for this. You could shred them, and you want a nice layer in your hot oil or butter. Seasoned, and then you'll flipping the thing, you want it to come out like a pie or a round disc, if you will. And most people have trouble flipping those. Of course, we like to slide them onto a plate that's slightly bigger than the pan you're using, and then you invert the pan over the uncooked side. And here's the tricky part. You have to kind of have, and usually good to work with two towels with this, is hold the tube between your hands and flip it rapidly back over. Don't stop halfway through. Just flip it over into the back into the pan and then keep cooking. If it breaks a little bit, you can always kind of push it back together. But other galettes would be made even with slice. That's a little more elegant. If you take potatoes, and classically you would trim them so they're cylinders, so they're all the same diameter. And of course, commercial kitchens, you always have a use for the scraps, but that's fancy presentation. But you choose similar sized potatoes and slice them thinly, the raw potatoes, and then these again would go in the hot clarified butter or oil, and kind of arrange them in a overlap into a circle, just like maybe if you're laying apple slices on a tart or something like that. So you've got that nice appearance. And again, you're going to cook the one side and then flip it over and then brown the other side. You have a nice potato galette. Another food, and we have to break right now for a couple of messages, but gnocchi, G-N-O-C-C-H-I. Neat little potato dumpling. So that's what we're going to make next when we come back at the table. So young.
Rab Qu- Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
This is Megan Jones-Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
All right, we're back at the table here. So gnocchi, our G food for the week, I guess you could call it. Now, there's two types, actually, of gnocchi. And one is, of course, a potato. It looks like a little pillow with some ridges on it. Just a classic way of the, you roll it over the tines of a fork. You actually make a, you know, kind of a thick circle and then kind of roll it together, so it should be almost pinched with a, looks like a little bumblebee, I guess. And then the other kind, the Romana, is more of a cake, if you will, made with either semolina or cornmeal, and even grits, if you think of anything like that. And what we do is we cook these, and a lot of people cook them in milk. And then, of course, add your cheese, whatever you like in there, a couple of eggs. And then we spread them out on an oiled sheet pan and let those cool down. So you've got this porridge-like mixture. As I say, you could use the coarse semolina or cornmeal or even the grits if you like. I've made cakes out of actually leftover grits. Spread them out, cool them off, and then you can cut them in a shape. And then you can, some people will grill them or saute them. In this case, the baked gnocchi, you would layer them in a casserole dish and dot with some butter and grated cheese and then bake them. So say you're using the cornmeal or the semolina, get that nice golden color. The ratio is 4 parts milk to 1 part of the grain. And most recipes will tell you to bring the milk or the water to a boil and then just stream in the grain while you're stirring so no lumps form. I know when I've done this for whether it's polenta or even for cornbread, especially cornmeal because it can be a little, well, gritty, let's say, is I would take 1 part of the water or milk, and soak the cornmeal in that for a few minutes, and actually do that while the other liquid's coming to a boil. So it makes kind of a paste, and then you can just add that all to the boiling liquid, and you don't get any lumps. It kind of starts to soften up the grain a little bit, so that's a little trick there that we use commercially, especially for big batches, instead of just trying to pour a lot of cornmeal or semolina into that water and stirring, and you know, you don't want any lumps in there. So you kind of soak it first. Even if you're making cornbread, same thing. Take your cornmeal and soak it in some of the milk first before you make your cornbread, and you'll have a little bit softer product. So the gnocchi romano, very simple again. And it's something, if say you serve polenta as a base for a dish and then you had some left over, that's usually a way you could use your leftover polenta, and oftentimes it's seasoned, you know, some cheese and things in there too, so it's but a nice, neat side dish or even a first course. Now the other gnocchi that you see more often, the little boiled ones, I made some out of sweet potato. You'll see that sometimes. Normally it's a pasta dough, and you could use all-purpose flour. I like to use the semolina, the durum, the fine ground, not the coarse. It almost looks like yellow all-purpose flour. A little bit stronger, a little more gluten, if you will. A little different taste. And you make your gnocchi with that pasta flour. Now, we don't need eggs in this. What we do is add some ricotta cheese to lighten it up. So let's say for a sweet potato gnocchi, I took 2 cups of sweet potato puree, and I had roasted the potatoes first and not boiled them. If you boil them, make sure they're dried out pretty well before you puree them. What I did was I had roasted the sweet potatoes and peeled them and then pushed them through a fine strainer. Now, it was the basket strainer, you know, the fine wire mesh there. Looks like a bowl. And the easiest way to do that is use a ladle. Grab the ladle and use the edge of the round part of the ladle to kind of push everything through. So what it does is make sure any fibers and things like that are broken up. Now, if you're making a regular potato gnocchi, again, if you're boiling the potatoes, boil them in the skin. Let them dry out before you peel them after they cool off a little bit. But baked potatoes would be fine also. But boiled in the skin, let them cool off, peel them while they're still warm, and then the potatoes, you could also put them through what's called a ricer, a little dish that maybe you may have or not have, kind of with a plunger on it and some small holes. It pushes the potato puree through, and again, you don't with you whip the potatoes, sometimes it makes the starch kind of gluey, and you don't want that. You want the gnocchi to be light. You don't want them to be heavy. So 2 cups of sweet potato puree, and then 2/3 of a cup of ricotta cheese. I used good whole milk ricotta. 1.5 teaspoons of salt. I used a little bit of nutmeg and ginger, or you could use a teaspoon of cinnamon if you like cinnamon with your sweet potatoes, and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. And then probably about 1 1/4 cups of flour, plus another a third of a half a cup for bench flour, so you can roll them out. So we mix the ricotta and the sweet potatoes, the seasoning together, and of course then taste it, and then start working in the flour about 1/3 at a time. Mix in the flour, and if the dough is a little bit too loose, then you add a little bit more. It depends on how much water is in the ricotta, I guess, would be your main factor there. But you want it to be a dough that you can roll into. I mean, I cut this batch into 6 pieces, and then each dough ball I cut into 3 other pieces, and you roll out a long strand, maybe, I don't know, 3/8 of an inch or so in diameter, maybe 1/2 inch. And then I cut 1 inch pieces off. And now what I do is flatten that out, kind of fold it in half, and then you roll it over the tines of a regular dinner fork. So you have the traditional gnocchi shape. If you want to just cut them into kind of little pillows, that's fine. And of course, dust them with the pasta flour so they don't stick. And then you'll cook them in boiling salted water. Now, cooking these things, you know, you want to check them. They take 5 to 7 minutes just because they'll float to the surface like a lot of dumplings. But check them first. You want that flour to cook all the way through. Otherwise, they'll be a little bit leaden or soggy, as they call it. So these will lighten up. And now, traditionally, with the sweet potato gnocchi, you would do maybe a brown sage butter. I did some, actually, you know, a little andouille chopped up, or bacon would be nice if you want to make it a little more substantial. Definitely some cheese. But they're a nice side dish or first course. As I say, you can make them with sweet potatoes. You could do the regular potato gnocchi. Used to do those tricolor with a marinara and a pesto and an alfredo, the Italian flag colors. That's kind of a neat main attraction there for gnocchi. We're up against the hour. We've got to make way for Sue from ShopRite. Chef Bill saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your food holidays and St. Patrick's Day. Catch you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. Philippine police say government forces have captured the leader of a new Muslim rebel group in the south who has been linked to bombings and a beheading and accused of providing sanctuary to 2 terror suspects wanted by the United States. A police report says government troops arrested Muhammad Ali Tambako and 5 of his men late Sunday while the militants were traveling on a motorcycle taxi to a seaport in southern General Santos City. The president of the Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu says his country has lost years of development progress and must start anew following a powerful cyclone that destroyed 90% of the buildings on the main island of Port Vila.
Baldwin Lonsdale says he and other top government officials are preparing to return home later Monday from Sendai in northeastern Japan, where they were attending a disaster conference. For the USA Radio Network, I'm J.J. Jeffries.
Okay, so you own a business and cash is tight. So what do you do when you need funds? Go to a bank? Yeah, right. Waste a lot of time, send tons of paperwork, only to find out you need to personally guarantee your home, firstborn, and everything in between. Or you can just call the